At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. The question of the day today is, what was the best offseason move the Washington Commanders made? 833-804-0910. Take your phone calls on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for
the phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
All right, we got Stubb here running the ones and twos. I've turned him into a Commanders fan. Biff is our intern
summer. That's my mom.
What, your mom turned you into
Commanders?
Yeah, how many games did you watch until you were 22 years old? I think we know the answer.
Double digit.
Okay.
Not high in the
You can give your mom all your credit, but
I was watching RG3.
Okay. Okay. So Stubbs rooting for the Commanders, he says so. Biff is a diehard Commanders fan. So what was the best offseason acquisition for the Washington Commanders? So technically the offseason begins right after the Super Bowl. And they signed Zane Gonzalez to a 1-year contract. That's not gonna be a great offseason move. They released Jonathan Allen. They re-signed Marcus Mariota. That's a sneaky good offseason move in my mind, because I do think he is a great backup, a good leader and mentor for Jaden Daniels.
The way he played against the Cowboys, I was like, oh my God, this guy could start.
I mean, even the way he played against the Panthers, because Jaden only played a quarter in that game. He played the whole fourth quarter against the Browns. I think it was, for me, it was the turning point was the clip that went viral of him against the Falcons saying, Jaden,
be yourself.
Pick yourself up, use your God-given abilities, and go win this game. And I was like, leadership right there.
Yeah.
But the same day that they re-signed Marcus Mariota to a 1-year contract, they signed Javon Kinlaw to a 3-year deal. And that was a massive move, because that was a lot of money to a guy that not many people had heard about. Uh-huh. A guy that has a connection with Adam Peters. And I think when he was signed, most of the takes were, well, he really better develop and really better show up on the field, because, quite frankly, everybody believes they overpaid for him.
It's one of those things, because I was thinking the D-line needed help, and I thought Kinlaw was pretty good. I mean, I worry about him because I think he's got an attitude problem sometimes, I've heard.
That's why he's been on 3 teams already.
Yeah, exactly.
But look, I think he was brought in to help stop the run. It's not like he's going to have great statistics, I think, or amazing amount of tackles. Can he win his battle against a guard or a center and stop the run?
So is he the replacement to Allen, you think?
Yes, that's I think what it's supposed to be. But as Dan Quinn has talked about, there will be some packages where he's on the outside doing what Dante Fowler struggled at, which was creating the edge there to stop the run. In March of 2025, Washington traded multiple picks to Houston in exchange for Laremy Tunsil. You heard Michael saying that is the biggest acquisition of the offseason. It is hard to argue against that. He's one of the best at his position. It is a premium position. It's not a sexy position, because you're not going to catch a touchdown unless you know who caught the first touchdown thrown by Jaden Daniels. I know Stubb does.
It's the offensive lineman.
Trent Scott. Most of the time, your tackle's not going to be involved in anything offensively. So it wasn't sexy there, but in terms of what he will bring to the table, I do think that's a great answer for the best acquisition of the offseason. He will, in terms of like improvements over the replacement, Brandon Coleman was good, like 75 to an 80 if you were Madden scoring him. I think Laremy Tunsil was like a 95.
Yeah.
Like, he is legit one of the top five left tackles in the National Football League when he's at his best. They would then sign Will Harris to a two-year contract, Jonathan Jones, a veteran cornerback, to a one-year deal, and re-signing Zach Ertz. And then you skip ahead to the next big move of the offseason, which was trading for Deebo Samuel. So with the moves we've talked about right now, you can add in Michael Gallup. I don't think he's going to do much for you this season. Sheldon Day, the defensive tackle, got signed to another contract. They re-signed KJ Osborne. They restructured Andrew Wiley. They re-signed Noah Brown. They re-signed Nick Ballore. They re-signed Jeremy Reeves. Am I right that the best acquisitions are between Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil?
Yeah, I don't think it can be, because I think the next guy you go is Will Harris, maybe. Like, you know, and then
I'm worried that he's not going to be an upgrade.
Yeah, because
Jeremy Chinn was a
so
thumper.
Good. He was so good. Everyone was talking about when he first came, Jeremy Chinn was, they were worried about his speed, they were worried about his athleticism, and he clearly showed that he didn't need any of that. He was a great tackler. Nobody could get by him, except for if you're Saquon Barkley. But
yeah,
you know,
I mean, he was a starting safety for a conference championship appearance team, a 12-win team. I would have re-signed him. He got a little bit of a contract to go elsewhere, and so in comes from the Saints Will Harris. But I'm worried that he won't be an upgrade. He might be better than them at certain things. He's not going to be as good, I think, at stopping the run. So you could pretty much say that's an even swap, maybe,
yeah,
or a downgrade. So I'm going Deebo Samuel, because I do think he has the highest upside. As much as Laremy Tunsil is going to affect the offensive line and give Jaden more time, which will then help him find Deebo Samuel, I really think we're going to get the monster that was Deebo Samuel in 2021 and 2022. We're going to get the guy that puts fear into opponents' defensive coordinators. And that guy was Jaden Daniels last year, and maybe was Terry McLaurin. I kind of think Terry McLaurin's disrespected by defensive coordinators around the league. When you see lists of the top wide receivers, it's not usually in the top five, especially when it's voted on by coaches and things like that. So I kind of wondered who struck fear into the opponent last season. Wasn't B-Rob, wasn't Eckler. It might have been an older Zach Ertz in the middle of the field.
It probably was.
But this year, I do think Deebo Samuel is going to scare defensive coordinators. You're going to make sure that you've got safety help over top in case he makes a guy miss or breaks the tackle.
Yeah, so I think it's a good question, AWOD, because I think at the end of the day, Laremy Tunsil, I think, will be consistently probably the better
right over sign. A 17 game sample size.
Yeah, I think will consistently be important, because also he brings that leadership, and I think this offensive line is semi young. I mean, Brandon Coleman was a rookie last year.
Yep, Connerly's
a rookie this year, and even Sam Cosmi. I know he's been in the league for a couple years, but he's probably one of the better ones.
He's probably only like 28, 29.
Yeah, he's still got
26.
Yeah, he's got a lot of growth. So I think this offensive line is a very young team, a very young unit, and I think Laremy Tunsil can actually bring some leadership to that offensive line. So I really think that maybe consistency, I'll probably go Laremy Tunsil. Who I want to be the best is Deebo 100%, I think, because with Terry,
he could have an 150-yard game, all-purpose yards.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And so that's who I want, but I would have to say consistently. And then for the years to come, I'm going to say Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah. Stubb, are you with him?
I'm all in on Tunsil being, especially with the way that the rest of the offseason has gone, with getting Connerly and not getting a new running back. I think this is such a big piece. And
it almost has to work out.
We got a top five player in a position for a second, third, and fourth.
That? Right. I mean, you have to go back
incredible
to when we had Trent Williams.
Yeah.
Right. And here's the other thing I loved is that when we had Trent Williams, it felt like every year we had a decent running game. And it used to always crack me up that it would be like, They're going to run to the left because you want to run behind Trent Williams, right? And so many years they did that. And then before that, it was Chris Samuel leading the way as the starting left tackle for this team. So I do feel like your NFL team's always at its best when you're one of your better players is your left tackle. You need a great quarterback, and obviously we're hoping that that will be Jaden Daniels for the foreseeable future. But this team is going to revolve around Jaden staying healthy, and Laremy Tunsil is a big part of that. But the two goes hand in hand, right? Because if Tunsil has a good game, Jaden's going to get the ball out of his hands. So who's he going to find?
Yeah.
Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
Right? And also, I think Deebo could help Tunsil out at times because you know how much Cliff really enjoyed the short passing game and the quick passing game. That is Debo's mark right there.
Yeah.
Get the ball into my hands immediately and let me make a guy miss. You have Jalen Lane to be a quick guy also to do hopefully what De'Ami Brown did. I'm excited for the offense, right? And when you talk about the offseason, it was a lot of offensive players that were brought in here and a lot of exciting year two offensive players. The question, I think, is the defense, and that's why I keep saying I have faith in Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr.
Yeah.
I don't know about the talent level on the defensive side of the ball, like Javon Kinlaw, like Will Harris, but I believe in that coaching staff and their defensive schemes to make some improvements.
I mean, when's the last time you've been this excited for a season where you have multiple players in probably a top five? Like, you could say Jaden Daniels is a top seven quarterback.
It's probably the most I've been excited my entire life. Because I want to say 2012, but that was also all in for week one. We knew he wasn't going to be healthy. 2005, I think, was the year Sean Taylor died and Todd Collins got us into the playoffs. But then the next year, it was like, all right, Todd Collins is almost 40. Jason Campbell's not the guy. Mark Brunell got me excited, I guess. But yeah, I think the answer is first time in my entire life I've been this excited.
Yeah, and this is definitely the first time. Obviously, I was 10 when RG3 was the quarterback. So I'm so excited, man.
If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. What was the best acquisition for the Commanders this offseason? 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. From the Commanders to the National Football League, time to go around the NFL with the biggest stories, news, and notes from every team's offseason here on NFL Hits. with AWOL.
Every offseason rumor, every free agent on the move, and the drama surrounding the NFL draft. It's NFL Hits on AWOL Radio.
Look, so last segment we went around the room. Whether you believe Stubb or not, we're all Commanders fans here. But I want to know, what is the NFL franchise you're most interested in outside of Washington? Because, like, for me, it actually is the Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers situation. And what will happen with Mike Tomlin at the end of the year. And the fact that the fan base doesn't even seem to want Aaron Rodgers here. And yet, I truly think that was the best-case scenario for them once they lost Russell Wilson. I think Aaron Rodgers is better than Justin Fields. So I thought that was the move they had to make. And so I'm kind of really interested in watching that this season. I've always enjoyed that division. Ravens, Steelers, even the Browns. And, of course, the Cincinnati Bengals always have some great matchups when they face off against each other. We saw them on Hard Knocks in season last year. So, to me, the Steelers are the top of my list of teams I'm most interested in outside of Washington. And then, I got to go with my guy Liam Cohen Duval and go with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we'll see how this Travis Hunter saga plays out with him maybe playing both sides of the ball as a rookie.
I'm not ready to buy in on Trevor Lawrence making a comeback. I'm interested to see Liam Cohen. He had good success, but I'm not ready to buy in on that.
And you're so out on the Steelers. So what team are you interested in? What team do you think we should do some more research on, bring on some reporters this offseason?
I am interested in the Steelers in a sense that I want to see them kind of blow up.
You
kind of
want to see them fail. I kind of want to see it work. There's interest there. It's piqued our interest.
I think two teams I'm interested in seeing what happens to them are the New England Patriots and the Carolina Panthers.
So let's start with New England, because I think you're right about New England. I personally am a big Mike Vrabel fan. I have been since he played. I enjoyed his Tennessee teams. I think he's going to have them much better defensively. And then you look at, well, how is Drake May going to fare in year two?
Exactly.
Did they do a good enough job putting weapons around him this year?
The big thing with New England last season was O-line. And what I'm seeing, what I've heard, is that they have beefed that up a lot.
They brought in Richmond native Morgan Moses.
Yeah, and I think, what is it, Stephon Diggs? Is that the receiver they got?
Stephon Diggs is Cardi B's boyfriend, and she's
who I know there's been
town.
A lot of drama offseason with him, but I think Drake May, this season compared to last, has a chance.
I think there's an underrated signing, Mac Hollins, the wide receiver, walks in barefoot every game. I'm kind of a fan of him.
I think that this could be a sneaky 7-seed wild card team.
You know what? You could be onto something, and I actually read an article yesterday. I'm trying to find the headline here because it was, Trevion Henderson, this is from a Patriots reporter, Trevion Henderson carrying lessons from Ohio State to New England in rookie season. That's an underrated reason to watch New England this year.
Absolutely. I think we thought Drake May was going to be that guy. He literally didn't have a chance last season.
Yeah.
That was such a throwaway for them. I think this could be it for them.
Are you not a Trevion Henderson fan because he didn't go to Trinity?
No, that's not it. I hate Ohio State. I hate Ohio State.
But so you got to respect a local kid winning a national championship for Ohio State.
I like, I'm all 804, I support them. But, you could have gone, to Maryland or something. That would have been nice.
All right, so he went Patriots. I like that pick. I went Steelers.
Yeah, man, I got two, I think. I mean, obviously, I want to see the Detroit Lions in a way. I know that's kind of probably a basic pick because I just love their offense, and I think that their defense went healthy. Man, I just want to see Detroit win something. But I'm also really, really curious on how Cincinnati's going to do this year.
Yeah.
Their offense, obviously, especially they just paid the two wide receivers, Jamar and T, and Joe Burrow being one of the better QBs in the league. I wonder how that defense is and if they sign or extend Hendricks. So I'm curious on how they do.
You mentioned two teams that both I feel like are in very important seasons for their head coaches. I'm not going to say that Dan Campbell's going to be on the hot seat, but if you go from 15 wins and lose both your coordinators and take a major step back to 9, then you have to wonder who is the loudest voice in the room. And for the Bengals' perspective, I told Stubb this numerous times, I would have fired Zach Taylor at the end of the season.
Yeah, we were both on that.
He was on our Hadeem Mercer rug cleaning hot seat.
So many weeks.
At the end of the season, he was living on that hot seat. And for some reason, they chose to keep him for another season. So I do think that both of those coaches could be on the hot seat by the way this season plays out. And both those teams have exciting offenses.
The thing about Zach Taylor, it's weird. I think he gets bailed out so much to a point where it's like, I don't know if it's him or his coordinators or even just how good Joe Burrow is.
Right.
So I agree with him being on the hot seat this year. I never thought they were going to fire him after last year because, I mean, they did make
make a run at the end of the season. But I would have fired him because who the hell is Zach Taylor? I mean, are you freaking kidding me? I know who Joe Burrow is.
Yeah, you have Joe Burrow on your team. Yeah. You need to be in the playoffs
every season.
I'm telling
you, I think this was the missed opportunity. They should have fired Zach Taylor, hired Patriots Dynasty.
Oh, wow. Talking about Bill Belichick?
Billy B.
How old is
Jordan
he?
Hudson in Cincinnati hanging out. I mean, I think that would have worked out.
They should have hired anyone. Yeah. It just shouldn't be Zach Taylor.
I was gonna say it shouldn't be Zach Taylor.
You're wasting one of the best quarterbacks in the league
right
now.
In his prime. And you just paid all of his friends to stay with him.
Yeah.
I was thinking
Feels like such a waste. Huh?
Mike Vrabel. That's who I was thinking that they would. The Patriots.
Oh, Yeah. I think that they should have fired Zach Taylor, but they could still have a good season. I'm not going to bet on them because I made that mistake last year, for sure. Phone lines are open if you want to chime in. Give us a team that you're excited for or interested in outside of Washington. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We sat down with Coach Chris Mooney this morning to talk Atlantic 10 men's basketball and the upcoming season for the Richmond Spiders. That conversation live from his office at the Robin Center is coming up next on The Fan.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most local sports talk in town. And we are broadcasting live from Coach Mooney's office here at University of Richmond for year 21. What's going on, Coach?
Not much. Doing great. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Yeah, I mean, this office is fantastic. We kind of got the whole landscape here getting here. I mean, it's kind of incredible. You got to go through so many different paths to get to your office.
You do now that we've built the Quilly Center, which is our basketball practice facility. I guess it's about 4 years old now, and it's really changed everything, you know, including the layout of where everything is and where our guys get to spend most of their time. So we're really proud of it and excited to have it.
Well, I love it. It looks fantastic. As we're in your office here, can you tell us about something in here that's important to you?
Yeah, for sure. So there are a few things here that are pretty cool that we've been able to save. Probably the biggest thing is the Greg Beckwith jersey. So Beck was, from when I was here, I think for the whole time I was here and maybe a year or two before, Beck was our color commentator. More importantly, he was a great player at Richmond. He's in the Hall of Fame here.
Yeah.
He had been the all-time leader in steals and the all-time leader in assists at Richmond and was just, you know, one of the very great guys, that we've ever had here. And Greg passed, over a year ago. And so we've tried to do everything we can and working with Adidas, who he worked for a long time, to promote his legacy and really impact, you know, for our guys, how we'd like them to be and who we'd like them to emulate. So I think his jersey hanging in here is a good reminder for me every day. And a couple other things that are dedicated to Beck that really have a reminder of, you know, what we're capable of and who we're capable of being, because he was that special.
I really appreciate you sharing that story. As we sit here on June 17th, do you feel like there's still an off season? What do you do to unwind during the off season?
Yeah, there's not much of an off season anymore. I think it probably impacts the assistant coaches the most. Because from the day the season ends, now that period of time has become the most critical recruiting time and the most intense recruiting time. So that used to be a time that was really positive and organic for the program where, you know, there wasn't as much tension. There wasn't as much urgency. It was a time to really spend time with the players. The workouts were, you know, we were still having workouts and helping the guys get better and whatnot, but we could really spend some time with them because there wasn't the urgency of a game on Wednesday or a game on Saturday. And we really built a lot of great relationships during that time. And now you have to go into the most intense recruiting time for about 2 months or even 3 months some seasons. So, you know, that part has really had a dramatic impact on everything. And then at the same time, you want to retain all of your players.
Right.
So as you're out recruiting, you know, can you build and maintain the relationships with your own players? And then there's much more fundraising involved because we're trying to, you know, fuel our collective, which pays the players. So there are, you know, more things to do right now, unfortunately. But we'd just prefer to spend our time with the guys. And I think that has changed a little bit. And hopefully we'll have some time in August, as long as the roster is set and ready to go. Then we'll have a little bit of time in August before everybody comes back to school.
Do you feel like we've gone through this transfer that you're now getting more comfortable with getting guys in here earlier? Like, you know, it's June 17th now compared to previous years.
For sure. You know, a few years ago, probably with the portal had existed maybe, but the first year the portal really became, you know, the most, you know, more really became normalized.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there in the middle of May and still had four guys to get. And that was unnerving for a place like Richmond, who, you know, we had built our program, you know, one of the things that we had always stressed was stability and having guys, you know, whether they redshirted or just improved year to year to year. And then all of a sudden you don't have, you know, a full roster all the way into middle of May. So yeah, I think we're getting more used to it. I think we have, you know, you have to really attack the recruiting, as hard as you can, really throughout the year. You know, there's a little bit of a misnomer that the portal opens and closes. In reality, it's always open. And unfortunately, in reality, the players are free agents every single day of the year. And so you really have to have your homework done so that by the time the season ends and the portal's open, you're attacking it at full strength. And it's hard because obviously you don't know exactly what your needs are. And that could change one day to the next. So, you know, it's tough, but that's just the way it is, and that's how it's evolved right now. And I think there'll be a lot more changes over the next couple of years also, and we just have to continue to learn what's best for Richmond and how we can still emphasize stability, still emphasize guys being here for a long period of time, still emphasize having seniors and third, fourth, and fifth-year players while also adding some talented pieces from the portal.
We're joined by Richmond Spiders men's basketball coach Chris Mooney, live and local here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So you mentioned the transfer portal, NIL, and we've lost some great coaches who have retired early. You're going at it for 20 years now, year 21. Do you still have that same energy for recruiting? I see you on the sidelines. It feels like you still love everything about coaching, but how about the recruiting aspect?
Well, yeah, I do. It's just such a different kind of recruiting now. You know, the recruiting before at you know, the level of Richmond, we probably would be recruiting guys, you know, between 6 months to 16, 18 months. And so then you really develop a relationship with the high school coach and the AAU coach, the parents, and his family, and you know, you have such a better understanding of both sides, have a better understanding coming in. And I think now the recruiting goes a little bit more quickly. You know, when there's money involved, I think that you know, that becomes like, this is how interested a program is in you, or this is what they're capable of doing, even if they are extremely interested in you. And that really kind of has made it the deciding factor in a lot of, even before the recruiting begins, having an understanding of, well, this is how much money we could allocate to, you know, to pay this player. And if that's not going to be enough because he's being recruited by somebody who has more money or more money to allocate to that player, you might not get him. So the recruiting goes a little bit more quickly, which in one way is good because it doesn't drag out as much, but and then if you lose a player after recruiting for 12 months to 18 months, that can be really hard. Whereas now, if you lose a player, you might have only been recruiting him for 2 weeks, but you also haven't built the kind of relationship that you used to. So, yeah, I think I have the energy for recruiting, and I think my staff is excellent. But it has really changed in that way, and we're trying to, you know, be as upfront and clear as possible with our guys who we are recruiting. But the money factor is, of course, always going to be probably the number one thing. And so, you know, making sure that we have our we're well funded, making sure that we have a great commitment, and making sure we're still identifying the same types of people that we want to represent Richmond is very important. But it all has changed so dramatically that it's almost like a different kind of job.
Coach Mooney with us here. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AY Radio. As you gear up for the upcoming basketball season, can you kind of speak to what you've seen, your perspective, the evolution of the Atlantic 10?
Yeah, so I think I have a pretty good perspective because I grew up in Philadelphia. When I grew up, there were three Philadelphia teams in the A-10, Temple, LaSalle, and St. Joe's. And so, I really followed Atlantic 10 basketball, you know, since, in 86, St. Joe's had a tremendous team. 88, Temple was number one team in the country. And all through that time, I would say the biggest thing is the teams that have come and gone. And so, Temple, probably at that point, like a Gonzaga, who was a national power, in times in the top 10, but in the Atlantic 10. Xavier coming and going, Butler for one season coming and going, and then adding Davidson, adding George Mason, adding VCU a little bit earlier than that. So I think that's probably been the biggest evolution, is what schools are now in the conference versus traditionally who's been in the conference. And I believe that, the conference has been great. We've had, just outstanding teams. St. Joe's in 2001 was number one in the country. Dayton, during when the tournament was canceled, was a top five team in the country. And then we've had great teams. VCU has had very, really, really good teams. Richmond has had really good teams. Davidson has had really good teams. Almost every conference. Duquesne, 2 years ago went to the NCAA tournament and won a game and advanced. George Mason, obviously a Final Four before they got to the Atlantic 10. So it's just been tremendous. I think that, it's a basketball first conference. I think that's what we pride ourselves on, where the schools really emphasize basketball. And I think that has started with John Chaney's Temple's team, John Calipari's UMass teams, two schools that are no longer in the conference, who really put this conference on the map. And the idea of playing anybody, anywhere, anytime, I think that's how we were really built. And I think what's becoming more difficult for us is scheduling those games.
Yeah.
A lot of the high majors are playing one another more so, and then they're playing some of the lower major teams around the country that come to their place. And that's put us in a difficult spot in terms of scheduling. So I feel like the biggest evolution is it has been a great conference with tremendous emphasis in recruiting and coaching. It has produced some really, really great teams. But I think we're at a difficult spot right now, mainly because of scheduling. And I look around at the schedules in the A-10, and they're not quite as impressive or overwhelming as they were 5, 10, 15 years ago. And I think that has me concerned a little bit, because we still have really great players and coaches, and there's a great commitment. But it seems like we're not getting as many opportunities as we did in 2008, 2012, 2015, and I think that's going to be a challenge for us.
Yeah, I think everything you said about the players, the coaches, the universities is so true. I mean, St. Bonaventure has a great squad every year. Loyola Chicago has had an impact. But what the fans of the A-10 notice is simply the bottom line, the number of bids into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
It was at 6 at one point. Now yes. It feels like it's a one-bid league. How does that change?
Yeah, well, honestly, I would say that the only place that Richmond can beat Kentucky in any possible way in basketball is in a game. That's the only way we can beat Kentucky. We can't beat them in terms of how much money they have in their collective, how much they're invested in their arena, their fans, their
strength of schedule, all that
strength
stuff.
Strength of schedule, anything. The only thing we can do is beat them in a game. And I really feel like we're just not getting the opportunity to play them in games anymore. Not to pick on Kentucky, but all of the schools. It was Carolina, Duke, NC State, Villanova. The only place we actually can compete with them is on the basketball court.
Yeah.
And that's been, from my perspective, taken away. I don't know if it's just what the evolution of it is, but we just have so few games. I think we've played at Richmond in our previous 20 years, I think we've played five high major teams, five or six different seasons, four high major teams, another five or six seasons. And that is becoming difficult for everybody, you know, even for, you know, our programs like Dayton, St. Louis, Richmond, VCU. It's really becoming difficult for everyone to get those games. And that's what we need, because that's where you can get these victories that really mean something and improve your NET score and have you your NET ranking and just have you in competition for an at-large bid. If you can't get any of those games, then it's really, really difficult to have a great net ranking.
Right. And hearing you say all that, I mean, it's frustrating because it feels like we need an A-10 Mountain West Challenge,
yeah,
right, to really promote. Those are two kind of mid-majors that, sure, have great coaches and great universities.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
2 years ago, Jordan King comes in, you hit on the transfer portal. Unbelievable season. Last year, what did you learn most from the struggles of last season?
You know, I think number one, you know, I think I did a really poor job coaching the team. I think that, you know, we lost a lot of speed. We weren't nearly as fast. What we thought was going to be a strength was our shooting, and that didn't really show up as much as we wanted. And then when Delonte Hunt got hurt,
yeah.
You know, we had won our first two conference games, and he gets hurt in the third game. That really was going to be difficult for us. You know, he was playing as a first-team all-league player, and to lose him, that was going to be difficult for us. And then we lose Apostolos Ramoglu later in the year. And I think that, my frustration and our staff's frustration, was I don't think I controlled that enough. And you know, I think we needed probably to be a little bit more creative, and we needed to make sure that our guys were, as prepared as possible, which, of course, you know, we felt that we were doing a lot of the right things, but I think we could have coached the team a little bit better. And, I think that sometimes when you have a high standard for your team, that's not just in the performance or the wins and losses or your record. You know, that's in how you approach it. And to be honest with you, our guys were resilient. They worked hard. I thought we fought to the end. You know, or maybe second or third to last game, we lost at Dayton in double overtime. And so we had some things that we did well. But I just feel like we could have done a little bit better job in helping our guys find those ways to win those games at the end.
Joined by Coach Chris Mooney here with the Richmond Spiders. So looking at the roster for this year, what can you tell us about the new guys? We've got about four returners and then a bunch of new faces.
Yeah.
The audience is going to be excited to hear about.
For sure. So, yeah, we ended up taking four freshmen. Three of them we signed in the early period and one we signed late. And then we have four transfers. I think Will Johnston, somebody who had been on our radar. He played at Loyola Marymount. He's from Australia originally. Really, really good player, extremely good shooter and excellent assist to turnover ratio. Has played lead guard in his entire college career. We think Will has a chance to really have a great season here. David Thomas, who we recruited last year as he transferred from Mercer. He was an all-freshman team member at Mercer, then went to DePaul, and then is now coming back to coming to Richmond from DePaul, who we're really excited about. Jaden Daughtry, who's from the Richmond area originally, has had a really, really productive career at Indiana State his first 2 years. Jaden will be here with 2 years left. And then A.J. Lopez from Maine, who we played here, and I think A.J. was a leading scorer in the game. No tampering, but we recruited A.J., and we think that, you know, he was an all-conference player at Maine, and we think that he has a chance to do very well. So, you know, I'd say the guys who have done probably who have stood out the most are the guys, not surprising to a coach, Mike Walls and Mikel Tine and Colin Tanner, who have been here and now in their third, fourth year here. But those guys have come in and brought some really good talent and competitiveness, and we're obviously working hard as we can to make sure that we're as prepared as possible for the first games in November.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but it feels like a younger roster and a local flavor too.
For sure. You know, I've always said our most important recruiting area is Richmond, Virginia. You know, we've had really, really good players, Ryan Butler, Trey Davis, Darian Brothers. We've had really, really Nick Sherrod. We've had great players from the Richmond area. And now we're excited to add a couple more. So, we feel like, that's always going to be the case. You know, that's as much as things have changed, there is still an allure for somebody to play in the town they grew up in and, have their high school players, or high school teammates and family be able to see them play at home. We like it. And I do think, you know, the younger players, I do feel like there's going to be a little bit of a shift back, whether that's because of some rules that go into place or just word of mouth, that this transferring, which seems overwhelming,
mm-hmm.
I do think there are going to be more and more kids who stay at their school because, you know, what's not really reported as much as the transferring, you know, often goes the wrong way. And somebody transfers and they're in a worse position and they transfer again and they're in an even worse position. And so I think that is going to come to just through people that you've known and somebody who was on your high school team and your AAU team. I think parents are going to say, well, why don't you stay for another year? Because remember when so-and-so transferred, it didn't go so well. So we're betting on that. And we're also betting on that because we feel like a place like Richmond could be the type of place where kids really do stay for a long time. Mike Walls will be a fourth-year senior, one of the few in a conference. Mikel Tine will be a third-year junior. Colin Tanner, a third-year junior. You know, we redshirted two really talented players last year. We really feel that Richmond, because of the school that it is, the program, the facilities, the academic reputation, is the kind of place that we can retain players, and that as that shift happens, we could be at the front end of that.
Yeah, and that's going to be so important in this new landscape. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We're broadcasting live from Coach Chris Mooney's office here with the Richmond Spiders. I always like to say when I have you on with us here, you're one of my favorite coaches. I respect the hell out of the way you run your offense. When I was at VCU, I felt like, my goodness, your team gets so many free layups every single game. So I love the way you run your offense. And you're 21 now coaching. What have you gotten better at? What are your biggest strengths now as a head coach?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really feel like what our main commitment has been for all this time is developing players and just helping guys get better. And so, you know, when a guy comes in and he's, you know, a little bit thin and a little bit inexperienced and all those kinds of things, we take great pride in our strength program and our development and guys being on the court and the culture of guys being in the gym. And so then when you take some of that away and that you don't have these guys for 4 and 5 years, that's difficult. And you have to try to, yes, of course, develop players, but you also have to try to have a place where you can attract older players who, you know, I hate the term plug and play, but there is a little bit of that. So you have an opportunity at a particular position. You say, okay, here it is. I think one advantage we have is that because we do have a style of play that's identifiable, when we recruit someone, we can say, hey, this is, please watch 5 games, 10 games, 20 games. This is how we play. Do you feel like your skill set and your athleticism, do you feel like you would fit into that? I think if you didn't, when you don't have a particular style of play, then you're trying to say, you know, you're trying to project somebody, but they might not be able to see where they fit in. And now, because of that, somebody might say, no, I don't really want to play that style, or I don't understand it that well, or maybe I don't see that as my strength. But we feel like we can target the right guys because, mm-hmm. you know, the guys who do pass and have a good sense for the game and have some length and athleticism, we feel like we will attract. And so if we can do that, that takes, you know, even though we'd rather have more time to develop them, at least we're getting guys who we feel like are really good fits. They're the type of guys we would have recruited out of high school. They have developed because they've been in college basketball, and now we can put them into our style of play, and hopefully they can thrive.
Coach, really appreciate you taking the time to join me today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here.
Now, I want to throw my intern under the bus before we end this. I love working with Biff. He's one of our greatest interns. He's a diehard Richmond Spiders fan. And on the way over here, he said, Adam, I figured out Coach Mooney. He loves a passing big, a tiny point guard, and a reliable shooter.
That's pretty spot on.
Anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, big fan, obviously. So like he said, how have you found so much success in the undersized guard position? Because like you go back, you have Gilliard, who's one of the greats, Kendall Anthony, Cedric Lindsay, Sanjay Jones, like all those guys, I mean, they're all under 6 foot. So how have you found that success in recruiting them?
Yeah, I appreciate it. So it's actually funny because we came here from the Air Force Academy. And at the Air Force Academy, our one rule in recruiting was no small guards. because we were going to be small across the board for the Mountain West. And so we said, well, at least we'll have some size in the backcourt. And then we came here, and in our second year, we got a call about a player in Georgia who was a really good guard who had good grades in the spring, named Kevin Anderson. And he had one other scholarship, I think Western Carolina. And Kevin committed before he visited. So it was in like April or so, he committed before he visited. And I can remember saying, boy, I really hope he's good enough, because we've seen him a couple times. He's really tiny. Now, Kevin was the rookie of the year in the A-10, the player of the year, the outstanding player in the tournament, 2,000 points. And from then we said, well, I guess these guys can do it, you know, and the biggest, I remember when we saw Kendall Anthony, we were saying, you know, should we take him? And the only thing was, well, can he rebound? And it's like, well, you know, if a normal guard gets 3.5 and he gets 2.5, we could live at that for the, you know, for the 200 threes and the, yeah. and the incredible speed and everything. So, and then since then, it's just become, you know, a little guard, mostly they're often great players who happen to be small, and they really, I think they really want one thing. They want to know if you'll play them, because some coaches are going to say, well, we want more size. And so we have now 7, 8 guys who have had tremendous success at Richmond who we can say, well, yeah, we're not only will we play you, but you'll be one of our best players. So I think that's how that happened. And we feel like when we go in to recruit a small guard, we feel like the big boy a little bit because we have had so much success with these great guys.
Yeah, as a small guard, I really appreciate yeah. that. I really appreciate that. That meant a lot to all small guards.
That's great.
But,
thank you.
I got one more question. Speaking of small guards, we talked about Kendall Anthony. A guy who actually, I mean, obviously he's probably not the scorer Kendall Anthony is. Nobody is the scorer Kendall Anthony is. Mikel Tine, he reminds me a lot of Kendall.
Yeah.
Body size, sneaky athletic. What do you expect from him coming in junior year? I mean, he was thrown into the fire last year, sophomore year, obviously coming back from Jordan King.
Yeah.
Now he's got to step into a role, a different role. What do you expect for him?
Yeah, Mikel's been great. He's had a tremendous spring and early summer here. And, you know, that often is what it takes for guys. You know, I think that you know, when you're in a place and you're so comfortable and, you know, when things are new, you know, all of us, you can't, well, I have the lifting and this coach, I'm not sure what they call this on defense. And when you're really comfortable with something and you're even comfortable with the coaching and how things are talked to you about, and you're comfortable with your schoolwork, and you really can come into your own. And he's been great. I mean, he's incredibly tough like Kendall. He has a great pull-up jump shot like Kendall Anthony. He's great speed, great defender. And I think that he's going to have a chance to have just a tremendous year. You know, he's very comfortable and confident. He's really a great, great, great kid. And he's worked so hard. He's one of our hardest workers, similar to Kendall. So I agree. That's who I think about when I think about him. And I feel like he'll really have a breakout season this year.
Yeah, thank you. I'll be watching.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
Some good questions there. I love it. Coach, thanks so much for your time.
You bet. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.